Okay, morning. We're on Daf Kuf Hay Bav Mitzia. We ended up reading the middle of the sugi yesterday. Just my mouth got very dry. So the three lines from the bottom, Rav, we're discussing different types of iskas, right? And the relationship within the iskas. So I'm Rav Idi Bar Avin Imveimate. This is a kodeshi we said as well. That if the partner, the guy who had invested the money, right? So the Bala Kesef, if he died, so says Rav Idi Bar Avin, Nase Metalti Netzil Banav. So therefore, we're talking about an iska where the guy lends you goods, okay, like invests, gives you goods, and you can then go and sell those goods, right? He says over here, because at the end of the day, half of it he gave you as a loan, and half of it he gave you as an investment, right? And therefore, we're saying that it's yours. And therefore, it's metaltlin, and therefore the guy can't claim from metaltlin from the Yotomis. So says Rav, says no, Rav says Amar Lachi Karu Iska. That's not why it's called an Iska. Daf, why is it called an Iska? Daf, dear mate, lo yaseh metaltlin etel banav. When he invested it with you, he didn't give it to you. He gave it to you. Anachinam, he gave you part of it as a loan, part of it as an investment. But the conditions were there was a deal over here, and therefore exactly the opposite. When he gives it to you, it is not your metal, not part of your Yerusha, and therefore the Yatomim Kong claim is not. Amar Rav Chari Iska. Now we're going to a slightly more complicated story of Iska. Now we know that what's an Iska? We discussed Iska. Iska is when we invest in a business together, and there are two people, and we have a deal, and let's say we're going to put in 100 zuz, or 100 man, 100 shekels, or $100. 50 of it I give you as a loan, and 50 of it I give you as an investment. In other words, I am carrying 50% of the risk if the deal goes sour, right? And on the other hand, if we make money, I'm going to get a share of the profits. Now, Rashi explains, the long Rashi, I'm not going to read the whole Rashi, but look at Rashi very quickly. Chari iska v'trei shtei. We're speaking about over here where the guy did one transaction, but it was done in two stages. So he first lent the guy, or gave the guy 50, and then a day or two later, another 50, but it's all for part of the same deal. But he did it in two contracts. So that's what he says, Chade Iska, Utrei Shtara, and he wrote it in two contracts. What's going to happen now? Halacha is going to treat them each as a separate deal. If they're a separate deal, what happens is, Rashi tells us, Bishum Destam Iska Tiltab Aga. Look at Rashi, the very first Rashi there. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom. He says, Rashi says, Destam Iska, that's the principle here. We don't need the rest of Rashi at the moment. We know that in Iska, we learned already in Ezur Neshech, right? In all those we learned before, that the idea, the problem with Iska is that if we just split the profit 50-50 because half is a loan, half is an investment, then I'm not getting paid for my work, right? Remember? And therefore, that's considered a ribit. So therefore, we also pay the entrepreneur a portion. So Rashi telling us, what's this done? On the risk, there's 50-50. But on the profits, it's a third, two-thirds. Okay? That's what the key here is. Therefore, the guy who's doing the investment, if the operator, the entrepreneur, if he makes a profit, he takes two-thirds of the profit, and I take one-third. The third that he gets over and above my third is, so to speak, his salary. Right? Remember that? That's very straightforward. So what's the problem up here? Says the Gemara. Amar Rav says as follows. Chari iska trei shtarei p'seidei d'malveh. If you've got one deal, but at the end of the day, you've got two contracts on it, so what's going to happen over here? The malveh, the loan, the lender, the investor, he's going to lose. Why is he going to lose? Right? Why is he going to lose? Right? And on the other hand, we'll come back in a second. Trei iska b'chad shtara, and if we do it with two deals, but we couple it into one contract, Pseide de Love. There, the entrepreneur, the guy who's borrowing the money is going to lose. Now, how does it happen? Quickly, an example over here from Rashi, right? This is a simplified example of Rashi. Story is as follows. If you have got one deal, right, and the profits, let's say, are 30 shekels. So what's going to happen? We've got one deal, and the profits are 30 shekels. What are we going to do? We're going to say the splits are one-third, two-thirds. The investor is going to get 10. And the love, the entrepreneur, is going to get 20. Okay, up and down, that's clear. Now, let's say that we've got, that's if it's one deal. Now, if we've got two deals, right, two separate deals, half-half. So on the first deal, let's say that there was a loss of 15. And on the second deal, there's a profit of 45. So the net profit over here is still 30. So when we say there was one deal, the investor got 10 and the entrepreneur got 20. Straightforward, right? If we take that one deal, but we split it into two contracts, because we did it in half-half stages, right? So on the first deal, there was a loss of 15. So how do we deal with that? It's a 50-50 split. So each guy absorbs 7.5 shekels of loss. Okay? Right? So now, on the second deal, there was a 45 shekel profit. So how do we deal with that? 15 goes to the investor, and
30.
And 30 goes to the entrepreneur. So what happens is, the investor ends up with a 7.5 shekel loss on the first deal, and a 15 shekel profit on the second deal. So he nets 7.5 shekels. So you see, from the same 30 shekel profit, if it was one contract, he would have got 10 shekels. Now that it's two contracts, he ends up getting 7.5 shekels. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you see that he loses by doing it in two deals. And vice versa, if it was two deals, he should have ended up with 7.5 shekels, right? And in the end, he gets 10 if it's done as one contract. So you can see, when it's one contract done in two, the investor loses. When it's two contracts done in one, the entrepreneur loses. So either way, it wasn't done properly. One wins and one loses. So what does Rava say? So therefore, v'amar Rava, right? So look at Rashi. If you look at Rashi, now in Daf Kuf Hay Amud Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down, when it starts getting narrow, the third line of the narrow line says, v'eitzah tova k'mashman Rava. And therefore, Rashi adds in here. Rava's giving you a good eitzah. What's the eitzah? The bechad iska lichtov chad shtara, who betray iska nichtov shtay trare, v'yeh davar shaku. Always stick to what the deal is meant to be. If it's one deal, write one star. And if it's two deals, write two starot. Don't ever think, ach, what's the difference? It's the same amount of money, so we'll do one star for two deals. No, because then the mother's going to lose. And if it's one star, and if it's two deals, okay, and if it's one deal, don't do two starot, etc. Keep it to what it is, and you won't end up losing. Anybody will get what they want. Okay, let's carry on. V'amar Rav, and Rav says as well, the third deal over here. Hai man de kabir iska min chavre. So now, God has a deal with his friend, right? Kabir iska min chavre. So now he goes into a deal with the iska, where they're sharing here. Upsid, right? And he loses money. Pasid, right? Mm-hmm. So now what happens? He's running around. He's the runner, right, on this deal. So he loses money. Now, Tarachumalia, he decides, look, he's still got money left over. He's lost money so far in the deal. But there's still time for this deal. He's going to go and he works hard and he replenishes the money. Velo ode, and he doesn't tell the guy up front, his investor, when he lost the money, he lost the money. He could have gone to him and said, listen, Gerald, I've lost the money, okay? Now we're going to start it from anew, that we had a deal, right? 50-50 of the loss, half the money's gone. You want me to try and work again? We do a new deal. We reinvest the second part. No problem. But he never did that. In the meantime, he made up the money. He can't now come. Look at the Gemara. Lo matzi amale. He can't now come to the guy after the fact and say, "Dare meheach pseida behadai." That loss that you wouldn't have absorbed any had I told you, take now. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. He can't. It's too late. All right, look at Rashi. Velo matzi lemeimale lebatar demalye. After he's already made up the money. Now he's sitting rich. He tells him, but remember, you know, I had lost money down the line, therefore you must have all the money and the extra profits, but of mine. Right? Look, Darim Hayach. The Kabir Allah Chatzi Hefzed, Ubeschar Tul Shlish, Venimzait Pochet Bina Keren. Right? He's going to come out of the Keren because he would have agreed to lose 50% of the Keren from the original deal. Too late. Can't do that. Right? Because what's the investor going to say to him? Look back in the Gemara. Mishum the Amar Lay, the Balabai, the investor is going to say to him, Lahachi tarachte lemiliute. This is why you worked hard. You didn't just make the money. You went to town to work hard. Why? Ki hechi de lo likulach mafsid iski. So people won't speak about you as a guy who loses their money. In other words, really what he's saying to you is, you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself. Because if you had lost the money, the next guy wouldn't want to invest with you because you have a bad record. So to keep your reputation intact, that's why you made the money. Don't come down and try and dump it on me. Okay, at the end of the day, that is the story. V'amar Rava, and another one over here of Rava, another din of his with regards to Iska. Hane betray the avde Iska b'hadi adade. Now look at Rashi here. Rashi helps us over here. These two guys that did a deal with a third party. Betray the avud Iska b'hadi adade. Look at that Rashi there. It says, Shnei kablanim. Okay, two entrepreneurs. She kiblu Iska mi bal habayit b'shutfut. So they're now partners, and they've got a third party who's investing with them. Okay? Not uncommon, very common. Two guys, partnership, and they've got an investor. Right? Sheyim keruhu v'yischeru b'ma'ot adzman ploni. And Rashi tells us that they basically got the stock, which they're able to now go and sell, for a limited period of time. V'yachleku, I'm studying Rashi, v'yachleku b'nehem u'ben balabayit k'mishpat. And they'll split it afterwards between them and the balabayit. So the balabayit will get a third, and they'll get two thirds, and the two thirds they'll split between the two of them. So each one will get a third at the end of the day. U'keshenishtamshu chetzi hazman. Okay, v'nishtakru. Now, half the time has elapsed, they've already made a nice profit. That's the case that Rashi's telling us, okay? They've taken the money as investment, they've run around, they've got, let's say, 6 months to deal, 3 months up, they're already sitting with a nice profit. Now let's look in the Gemara, what he says. So honey bay trade out the iskabadadade viravach, right? And they made a profit. Now they say to each other, one guy says to the other guy, Toli flog, boy, let's split the money now. Let's split. We've still got time, right? Let's split the money, right? The two partners, right, that are the entrepreneurs, they say to each other, look, we made profits, let's split the money now, God forbid, stealing anything. They've got 3 months still to go and trade. Let's say we'll either split up now and we'll each trade for their own account for their share. Right?
One guy says
to the other guy, let's split. So now the Gemara says follows. What are the conditions over here? E amalei idach. If he says the other guy, he says to him, narvach tvei. Look, we're going to make more money. Nice. We'll make more money. Right? Dinahu de ma'akev.
Did you skip a few words?
Did I skip a few? I think so. Ve tol liflog. I amalei idach. Narvach tvei. Right? We're going to make lots more money, yeah? Dinahu de ma'akev. He stops him. Look at Rashi. De ma'akev alei. Ad sheyagi hazman shekevao lebal habayit sheyachzru lo et shelo v'amuta yachlok. You can't do it. You can't go start gambling around. What's he saying? Let's split with the money we've got. I'll go make more money. You can't do that. You've got a time. You committed to this bal habayit. First go and give back the keren to the bal habayit. Share your money with the bal habayit and take your profits. Do whatever you want with it. Why? Look, I was saying if the bal habayit agrees.
No, if the two guys agree.
If the two guys would agree with each other,
let's see
what happens. The Gemara says, no, why not? Right? At the moment there's one side. I was right, but let's look. At the moment the one guy says he doesn't want to make it, and he tries to persuade you to make more money, he says no. Right. E amale havli palga deravcha. If he says, then give me my half, right? And you know what? So let's not split up now and go do, but let me take my half and I'll go invest. You keep yours. You don't worry. Let me just deal with mine. He says to him, no. He says, your revach at the moment is meshuabad to the keren. Because if, God forbid, you lose money from the keren, we owe the guy the money. That's got to come out of your profit. You can't take your profit and go deal with it on your own. And if he says to him, havli palge ravcha upalge karen, okay, I'll take for myself half the revach, half the keren, and I'm responsible for my half of the keren. Right, I'm responsible. Amalei adayin, he says, no. Iske lahadale meshubad. We did a deal here together as partners. We jointly and mutually responsible, jointly and severally responsible is the word. Right, and therefore we can't happen. V'amalei niflo ravcha niflo karna. Okay, so he says to him, no, v'imati dach psaida, darina bahadach. He says to him, and he says, you know what? Let's split the profits and the keren. V'imati lach psaida, darina bahadach. And if there's a loss, we'll take it from there. He says, no, amale lo, mazle de betray adif. At the end of the day, we've got mazle here together as partners. We're not taking chances here that one guy will mess up because of the mazle of the other. The answer is no. You go into the deal together and you do it together. Okay, new Mishnah. Remember, Rav Papa told us already in the last daf that the rest of this Mishnah is going to be either talking about a chocher, a lisa, a lessi, right, or a kablan, or an aris, right, not about both. Right, so the question now is, what is this Mishnah? We'll see, it'll come clearly in a second. So, Amakabel Salem Echaveiro, you do a deal on the field, either as an aris or a socher, we'll see now in a second. And you don't want to weed. Right? You don't want to do the weeding. You don't want to bother about weeding the field. Va'amarlo. Right? And therefore, and you say to the balabayit, Maich patlach, what do you care if I weed or I don't weed? Hoyil vanin oten lach et chakircha. So we see now exactly what it is, right? We're talking about a lease agreement now, not an aris, not a sharecropper. What do you care? I'm going to pay you the amount anyhow. There's not, as opposed to a sharecropper where you're dependent on the proceeds on the produce. Here, what's the difference? You're getting my money paid to you. Everybody, who cares? Ain't shumino. We don't listen to him. It doesn't matter the difference. Why? Bibnei shacholo marlo. The bala sadi. The owner can say to him, lemachar atayotzei mena. You're going to leave tomorrow. Umaaleik lefanaya sabim. And what's going to happen? I'm going to be left with a field full of weeds. And therefore, it might not be a problem for you now because you'll pay me. But afterwards, what's going to happen? Right. Look at Rashi there quickly. That Rashi there ain't shom inlo. Right. Just in the last lash of this Mishnah. V'ha leite ele b'chachranuta. Rashi, this is only applies on a chocher. Right. T'i b'kablanuta. Because if it's a kablan, an aris. Right. Pshita. Mi matzi amalei ma'ich patlach. Obviously you can't say that, right? They will not say, well, ich patlach. Because ich patlach. Because at the end of the day, if you don't weed, the produce is not going to be sufficient. You're not going to get a good yield, and I'm going to suffer. Okay, in the Gemara. So, Gemara says the follows. Now the Gemara basically just comes and explains the Mishnah. E amalei, so if the lessee, the lease holder, says to the balabait, I amalei, lebatar hachi karivnelach. Right? He says to him, you know what, I'm not going to do it now, but don't worry, afterwards I'll come and I'll sort this all out. Right? Look at Rashi, I'm slipping a bit here. Look at Rashi, I amalei karivnelach. Hashtim efaresh, right? Rashi is explaining now. Am I ain't shumim, no, why we don't listen to him? Right? Rashi is telling us, and why doesn't the balabait listen to him? Because I amalo ani achrosh achar haktzira. I'll come and plow the place out after I've already harvested, right? And I'll get rid of all the weeds. I won't leave you fields. What do we reply to him in a case like this, right? So the owner says to him back in the Gemara, I don't want such a yield because you're going to pay me anyhow out of crop, right? Even though it's a fixed amount, you're going to pay me from crop. I want a good crop. If I want a crop from a field that's not weeded, full of weeds. If he says to him, what do you care? I'll go buy you good ones from the shuk. So forget the field. What do you care? No, I want mine. Right? I want chitim from my field, not from the shuk. So he's trying to get, now he's getting sophisticated. He says, you know what? So the third that you're entitled to, I will de-weed the third of that field. So from your portion, I will take care of. From my portion, what do you care? Leave it around, right? You're going to go to Amalei, says to him, no. Why not? You're going to give a bad name to my field. You're going to see lies on my field, right? Why? Because people will see that the produce coming out of the field is not good. They'll see that you plowed a third of the field. They'll think you plowed the whole field. And they'll think, even the field after it was plowed and de-weeded and properly treated, look at the bad yield that it gets. And therefore, in the future, I'm going to be stuck with a bad name on my field. I'm going to be good. The Gemara says, wait a second. You give me all these reasons over here. But Tachlis, what did the Mishnah say? We said, we went to the Mishnah. What was the reason in the Mishnah, remember? There we said, our only concern is because we're going to be full of weeds. Now you give me all these other hundreds of reasons. What's the real reason here? Right? So, Elam Yishum, Da Amalei, Bizra, De Nafal, Nafal. He says, bottom line, the Gemara uses an idiom over here, and he says like this. I think Rashi explains it nicely at the bottom. He says, Bizra de Nafal, Nafal, that once the seed, look at Rashi, Elim Yishum de Amalei, the fourth wide lines that rush towards the end. Kol ta'anato, eina ela shema'alat asebim l'shanaba. Tachlis, the real reason is only because of the weeds being left for next year. For the ta'ano, and that ta'ana is a good ta'ana. Dechi Amalei kriv l'achar akhtir, because he says to him, I will come and plow for you after the harvest. Amalei ha'i ne'id akhar tashir. All very nice that you're going to take out these bad weeds. Aval sof sof, he says to him, ha'asabim she'taniach ba'achshav. The weeds you're leaving there now, what's going to happen? Ad she'yizru'u yiplu ashrim na'aretz. Before you get a harvest, these weeds are going to really their seeds are going to fall into the ground. V'yitzmechu l'sham, they're going to come next year and grow back. U'lezu lo tirachavishah. He says, once they've fallen, that's what he means. It's going to be too late already, and therefore, he's not really interested. Like a new Mishnah. Amekabel sede b'chaveiro. Right, so if you get a field now from your friend, again, we'll see now whether it's a chachira or it's a kabanut. And you did nothing with it. You didn't work the land. And we saw already before, right, that we've had this sort of case before in the Gemara where the guy says he didn't work the land. He says, look, I leased you the land on one condition that you're going to work the land because I want the money, right? I'm not leaving it free. v'lo asta imyesh ba kedei la'amid keri. So now what happens is he has the other way around. Here, the guy who leased the land, he's coming to complain to the Baal HaBayit. He says, listen, I leased this land assuming that I'm going to get a decent crop. There's no yield over here. This land just doesn't work for me. Right? And therefore, he now wants to abandon the place and walk away. So to what extent can you force him to stay? So now that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if there's enough produce, that's enough here, okay, to make a mound, right? In other words, to mound up enough of the produce, right? Chayav letapel ba. We'll see in a second what the measurement is. Right, a mound. Now, it's a bit strange over here, right? Because a mound, a big field and a little field, if you've got a massive field, you've got a little mound, so it's not enough. If you've got a little field, you've got a mound, so it would be enough. So we can see that a mound isn't really a proper measure because very relative to the field. How can we say a mound? Okay, if you rent 30 acres and you get one little mound, you're going to work 30 acres for a little mound. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. My kitzvah of a keri. How do we get this measurement of a keri? It's totally not relevant. Right? Ele'im yeshba kedei nefila. So Rabbi Yehuda gives another measurement. He says, kedei, look at Rashi here. What does it mean, kedei nefila? Look at Rashi there. It's a little bit from the wide lines up at the bottom towards the beginning. Ele'im yeshba kedei nefila. She'achol lachzor ulezor'a l'shana haba'a mitfu'at shana zo. If what you harvested, the seeds that you harvested this year, are enough to go and seed the whole field, right, for next year's crop, then now we can see it's relative to the size of the field. It makes more sense, right? If it's a big field, a bigger bundle. If it's a small field, a small bundle. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara like this. The Gemara now brings a brighter, okay, which is basically explaining this Mishnah. So you got a field, you never do anything with it, right? You couldn't do anything with it. Right, im yesh ba kedei la'amid keri chayav l'tapel. If there's enough of a keri, shekach kotev lo. Why do we get this measure of keri? Because what's in the agreement? The agreement is as follows: Ana okim va'anir ve'ezra v'achzor v'amed ve'edosh. I'll do all these procedures, right? With this whole dealing with the land story, ve'edri v'okim kariya kadmach, and then I will put up a mound of the produce at the end of this whole process in front of you. Ve'tete ant, and you will come ve'titol pargen take off. Va'ane ba'amali, me for my work, ubenafkut yadai, and for the outcome of my hands, and of my labor, palga, I'll take half. That's the agreement. So therefore, we have to have a carry. The bride says, you make a carry, you come and take your half, I come and take my half. So if we can't make a carry, then that's not part of the agreement. My agreement was I would make a carry. All right, that's what the Gemara says. And then brighter carries on and says, v'kama kedei la'amid ba'keri. What's the carry? I'm Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, kedesh tamod bo harachat. Right, he gives a measure now. How big does this keri have to be in order to stick in the rachat? If you look at Michael's Gemara over here, you'll see a picture of this rachat. This is like a type of a spade, yeah. Okay, which you use to, you know, when they winnow, they lift, throw up the seeds. Part of the process, you throw it up in the air, and the bad parts, chaff and the winnow, right? The chaff from the, whatever you call it, right? So that's what it is. Now look carefully at this, it's like a spade. It's got a wide part at the bottom and then a narrow handle that goes up. And we saw yesterday that Tosfot brought Rabbeinu Chananel with a different shit to Rashi. We'll see Tosfot goes on shit as well today. So the question is, what is this? I'm going to see Baruch Hanina, what is how big is this mound? Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina says, enough to stick in the spade. So you dig it in and it stands inside on its own. When you go to a funeral, you aren't going to pass the spade from one to the other, you dig it into the ground. Right, the same idea of here. You stick this thing into the mound of produce. If it stands up straight nicely, that's a big enough mound. Okay? So you buy a lahu, right?
Well, a spade, the other thing's called a shovel.
Shovel. This is a spade. Okay, a spade, that's a shovel. Call a spade a spade, right.
Right.
So now the Gemara says as follows, right? Ibaya lahu, rachat hayotzei mi hai gisa la hai gisa mai. So now the question is, this rachat, right, if you stick it into this mound, and we see it sticks out, what happens if it doesn't actually go into the whole mound, but a part of this blade at the bottom of the spade is sticking out? Yeah. Is that considered as good enough or not? In other words, is it a small mound or a big mound? Right? Why are you laughing, Michael?
She taught me that. She taught me that.
Okay, Matty, let's keep the that. Okay. Right. So he says, the Gemara says like this. Look at Tosfot, by the way, quickly there. Tosfot. Rabbi Chananya, look at Rabbi Chananya, he says, Tosfot, the last Tosfot on the Amud. Rabbi Chananya, Garis, Mihai Gisa, So we explained it like now that it's just mihai gisa, that if it's sticking out. He says, no, perush kedei la'amid tzada rachav shelamata. Is the mound big enough that the spade goes the bottom part into it? She'az ein tzarich tvua kol kach. And you don't need so much because it's a big spade. The bottom sits nicely in a, into a mound. Or is it the other way around? That you got to stick, you stick the handle into the mound. Now it's a very thin handle. If it's a thin handle, you need much more to hold the handle up, to hold the spade up, right?
Turn it upside down.
Wow. You don't stick the spade in this way, you stick the spade in the handle into the ground. So now the handle's in the ground, you need a much bigger mound to support that thin handle, okay? That's Rabban. So he says, hey, we'll pass it down to Kamar Kosh and Koneshnor Epnechama. And he says, the Gemara solves it often, that it's obviously the other way around, that you stick it in with the blade down. So now comes the answer like this, which, right, so what happens if it sticks out? So the Gemara, Toshma Rabbayu, Ledidi Mefar Sheli, Minad Rabbi Yossi Bachrina. Rabbi Yossi Bachrina explained it, right, explained to me, I heard him explaining it. Kosh and Kones Shelo Roe Epnechama. So long as the cornice seems to be the actual spade, the blade of it, doesn't see the light, in other words, it's properly covered. So now, while we're discussing these measures here, we see some other measures over here. Itmar Levi Amar Shalosh Sain. Right, he says, what is the measurement that you need in order to be forced to carry on working? He says, not the balance, not the measure. He says, you need 3 Sain. Right, a Se'ah. Remember, a Se'ah is 6 Kav. Right, a se'ah, we said a se'ah is 6 kav, so therefore you need 18 kav. Now a se'ah is, remember we've got this measurement section of here which we've looked at a few times before from Wikipedia here, that a se'ah, he says of here, se'ah, it's between like 7 and 14 liters. Right, remember that? Se'ah here, a se'ah is 6 kav, and according to the Rambam, the shita of the Rambam, it is 7.2 liters. Right, according to the Rambam, 7.2 liters to the Rambam, 7,200 cubic centimeters. Right, and according to the Rabbeinu Na'e, it's 8.3 liters, and the Chazanish is 14.3 liters. So it's basically between 7 and 14 liters. Okay, that would be a Se'ah. And you need 3 times that amount. Okay, so 3 times that amount. Instead of between 7 and 4, let's say 10 as an average, you'd need 30 liters of measure of a grain. Not so much, if you think about it, right, of a hard juice. That is according to Levi. And Devei Rab Yanai says, Sa'atayim. Okay, you need double that. Okay?
Agreed.
So if you need it's 3 se'ah and sa'atayim. Sorry, I thought se'ah. 3. So he says 2 se'ah, not 3 se'ah, right. And he says over here, and adds over here, chutz min ha'hotza'ah. In other words, this is net. This is after you've already taken off your costs. So if you haven't got 2 se'ah, right, net of your costs, then you have to stick around. So you have at least 2 se'ah, right, net of your costs. Tanar hatam. Now, another measure here, another issue here from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Yanai. Tanar hatam, peritze zeitim vanavim. If you, he says peritze, paritzia means from like pritz, parutz is like a pritzut, you know, like a, not a very complimentary term, right? So peritze zeitim they called, vanavim or grapes, right? Rashi explains here that peritze zeitim and anavim, we're talking of Yakim Farish Rish A Zaitim, like the bad ones. In other words, they don't give a very good yield. Okay, they're not really the best ones. Beit Shammai Metamin, or Hilal Beit Harin. Beit Shammai says these olives or grapes that don't give you a good yield. Beit Shammai says, like all other foods, they become Tamei, and therefore they're Tamei. But Hilal says they're not. But Hilal says we don't make them Tamei. We metarim. We say that on Mekabel Tuma, and look at Rashi there. It says metarim. Why? Mean atumot ochrin de lo chazi laachila. Because not ra'il achila. Therefore, not food. It's not food. We don't make it tamay. Don't interest us. Right. So the question now is, how much? What's the makor and how many do we need? So the Gemara says like this. My pritza is 18. What is this pritza? It's Amar Rav Huna rish a is 18. And Amar Rav Yosef umakra. And where's the makor in the pasuk that we call these things rish a is 18? And therefore. Am I recording here? Yes. Right. Rashi says, what's the pasuk? So he brings a pasuk over here. The pasuk is from Daniel, right? And then we've got the story in Daniel there with the malach from Yavan, the Tzafon, fighting the malach of the Darom, the Negev, which is Mitzrayim, right? He says, "Ba'atim ahem, rabim yamdu al melech haNegev." That's on Melech Mitzrayim. Uvenei paritzei amcha, and the bad ones from your nation. Ubnei paritzei amcha, right? The reshaei amcha yinasu lahamid chazom nikshu. They'll forecast all things in health, etc. So ubnei paritzei amcha yinasu lahamid chazom nikshu. So here we call ubnei paritzei. We see paritz means rasha'im, right? And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar b'yakit, a different pasuk. V'holid ben paritz shofech dam. Okay, the ben paritz he gives birth to a shofech dam. The rasha over here, right? So again, we see the makor of that. Now, it's actually interesting why they use it. We're going to that now. The kama paritzei zaitim. How much is this measure of paritzei zaitim? Right? That you, Rabbi Lazar Amar, arba'at kabin the korah. So Rav Elazar says that this korah, again, in Michael's Gemara, there's a nice picture of the olive press. Because it's a big olive press. You stick the olives into a big bag, and you have this whole pole that would come down and put this lever on top, and they'd press the olives out of that. Okay? So he says over here, that he says of here, arba'at kabin lekora. So four kab, we saw kab is 24 liters already, 24 eggs, about 7 liters. Mm-hmm. So 7 liters, about 30 liters, right up to that measure, according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yanai, in Rabbi Yanai's Beit Midrash, that's why we brought this in the first place. He says, sa'atayim lekora. So he says, two se'ah. So two se'ah is 12 kab. So he says, Arba kav lekora, says Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Yanai says, Seya is 6 kav. So he says, 2 Seya, which is 12 kav. So 3 times the amount. Now look at this, it's very interesting. Velo plige, and there's no machlok between the two of them, right? The one says 3 times the other. Right? Ha ba'atra de ma'ayle kura ba'olala. In the one place, we're speaking about a place where they bring a kur into the olala. Normally, right, and a kur is 30 Seya, remember? We had letech and kur the other day, right? Letech was 15 and a kur was 30. And ha ba'atru d'ma'ale klater kurin b'olala. This is the place where they do 3 kur b'olala. So we can see that if we get a third in the one, it's equal to, it's all relative to the amount they would normally bring. If 4 out of the kur is the same as 3 times 12 out of the 3 kur. If you look at Rashi at the bottom, the very last Rashi of the Amud, the Sa'atayim, says Rashi, have a klata zimne arba kabin. Says in the Sa'atayim is 3 times the amount of arba kabin. So it's the same relationship. Basically, it's one for the other. Okay, now, more on Beit Rav Yanai. While we're on Beit Rav Yanai, we bring another halacha that comes to his Beit Midrash. We're going to write it. Aluba ilan. Okay, now we've learned before this halacha a few times, right? That a zav, right? A person who's tamei tumat zav, right? That's from an emission, right? What do you call it? What's the word in English?
Emission.
Yeah, but what's a zav? Gonorrhea, I think, is what they call it, right?
Tell your word for it.
I think a guy who's got a halakhically right gonorrhea. So he, the tumah, we've got a couple of ways that he can make you tamay. Remember, even just sitting on something, right? Yeshiva. If he sits on the chair, he makes the chair tamay. Then there's tumat heset. If he moves something, he makes it tamay. If there's tumah, right? For that nosei, if he carries something or is carried by something, whether he carries that something or is carried by something, that something becomes tamay. Even without negia, so if he's got a glove on his hand, even if, or he's got a blanket. Remember, we saw the whole thing, we had a Gemara once in Baba Kama, I think it was, where he had lots of blankets. Remember, he sat on the 10 piles of blankets. Even the very bottom blanket becomes tamay. So it doesn't have to be negia. So there's or be yeshiva noseit or ratas, and we've got a case over here where it's called elyonoshel zav, that if the zav is carrying something and it's above him, right, he's above the zav, he still becomes tamei, because elyonoshel zav, he's being carried by the zav. Okay, so that's the background to this brighter. So alu b'ilan, they climbed up a tree, shekochora, and it's a weak tree. Right, now look at Rashi there, mi ala zav v'tahor. So a zav and a tahor, a guy's tahor, they both climb up a tree, and this tree is bad, or it's got a weak branch. The tree itself is strong, but the branch is weak. Now, what's happening over here? They're climbing up together. The zav, under the weight of the zav, the tree is moving, or the branch is moving. That's a classic case of heset, right? Or no say, depending how you look at it. Either he's carrying him, because the branch is giving in, so he's really moving him, and as a result of that, he's resting on him. Okay? Use a bit of imagination, yeah? That's what's going on over here, right? That the tree itself is weak, or a branch is weak. Tamei, the tahorga on the tree becomes tamei. Right? The Gemara says, what do you mean by a weak tree? I'm Rabbi Ravrana. That's why we brought the Mishnah, right? We brought this brighter for Rabbi Yanai. In Ravrana, they said, what's a weak tree? Kol she'ein be'ikaran l'chok rova. That the trunk of the tree is weak, that you can't scrape out of it enough wood, which would be the measure of a rova. A rova over here, if you look at Rashi over here, she'ein be'ikaran l'chok b'rochvo rova hakav. Okay, which is a small amount, actually. We saw the kav is 6 eggs. So it's basically 1.5 egg measure. You can't try thing out of the tree. So it's a very weak tree. Out of the trunk. The trunk. She ikaran. Ikaran, the trunk, the geza. Right? Now the Gemara says, Hechidami socho shekochara. What do you think we say a weak branch? I'm Reish Lakish. Ko she nechbet. The Bach changes this to ba'achzi achyoz ach. Ba'achzi ach. Achezyona, which means when you hold it around, basically, look at Rashi. Shenit manet ba'achizata she'ochez ba tomna b'kafiyat. You cover the whole branch is covered when you hold it around. No, it's so thin and small that when you put your arm around it, you've hidden the whole branch. That's what we mean when you put your hand around it. You're hidden the whole branch.
Two people can sit on that.
And if you are, well, you get some strong. Okay, so I said use your imagination, right? So in a case like that, you would be tamei because each one would have been natal hatam. More now from the speculation of Rabbi Yanai, hamalech bebet apras al gabei avanim sheyachol asit. Now you're walking in bebet apras. We've learned this as well. Bebet apras is a big area where people were buried. Chachamim were scared they were graves. The people plowed this field and they were scared they chopped up the body and the bones. And now we know that if a bone is the size of a seor, right, saara, of the size of a barley seed, if you touch that, you become tamei, right, tumat mate. So now we're scared that you plowed up this field and there'd be these bones spread over the show and guys would walk around and they might touch and become tamei. Now again, we've got the issue of heset. So if there's a rock, for example, in the ground and you stand on that rock, but that rock is firmly sitting in the ground and the rock's not going to move. So even if there's a bone under that rock and you stand on the rock, nothing happened. But if the rock is not firm in the ground, but it's, if you're moving around, you can kick the rocks and you can move them around easily. So you caused the rock to move. If there was tuma under that rock, the fact that you moved the rock, that moved the bone, you don't have to touch the tumor, right? But tumat is set. By moving the bone, you become tamei. So it depends now if the rock is firm in the ground or not firm in the ground. That's one issue. Another issue is if you're riding on a person or on an animal, if that animal is a strong animal or the person is a strong person and the weight, your burden of your weight on them is making no difference and they're walking, therefore if they touch the tumor, right, not as if you touched the tumah. See, it was a goy, for example, that was carrying you, wouldn't worry us. If he was a strong goy and he touched the stuff, the fact that he's knocking over, he's very strong, he's not, your weight is not affecting him at all. So therefore, you aren't affected by his weak, by his strength. If he's a weak goy or a weak animal, now your weight is what we say caused that thing to move. And therefore, you become tamei from the tumah teset. So that's the case over here. So now, and on these rocks that you could move, or al ha'adam, or you're on a person who's carrying you, v'al ha'bayma, right, or an animal that's carrying you, shekochan ra, and they weak, tamei, you become tamei, right? What do you mean? How do we determine whether the guy's weak or not weak, right? Amar Reish Lakish, kol shirochvo, when he's riding, v'arkevotav nokshot, and his knees bang into each other. Okay, so if he's battling, if he's not knock-kneed, yeah, because he's knock-kneed, he might be strong and knock-kneed. If he's a strong guy, he wouldn't knees. But if he's weak and he's battling to basically, he's like battling to give stuff. Okay, you don't joke now, dear. We haven't got time for jokes. All right. We're talking about an animal that's weak. Okay, and this animal, exactly, Robert said every animal, and this animal is basically dropping off bundles while he's walking with you, but you see that all the time. I mean, you see strong animals, you see horses and cows and camels,
elephants.
I don't understand this Gemara, but that's what the Gemara says. Okay, I'm a Rav Yana. Another one about Rav Yana. The tefillah or the tefillin arba kavim. What do we mean over here? For davening and tefillin, four kav. Again, a measure of four kav. And a kav is six eggs. It's basically like a 24 eggs. Imagine you're carrying like two dozen eggs. Measure the weight of two dozen eggs. Right? It's like the tefillah, ma'ahi. What do we mean when we say the tefillah? It says, the tanya, no say ma'soyak tefav, you're carrying something in your shoulders, v'igiyaz man tefillah, and now it comes to Amishponayshra. So if it's pachot mi arba kabin, the bachya changes to mafshilan, right? If it's arba kabin, you just basically push it to the back, and you daven. You have to take it off your body. We don't think that the weight is going to affect your kavona for davening. Right? Lachrami palav. Arba kabin, but if it's arba kabin, or more, me'niach abay karku palav, then you have to take it off you, to stop, put it on the ground, and you damage Munasha. Le tefillin, ma'ayin, what are we speaking about? We said le tefillin. So now we're speaking about a time, obviously, remember that ideally, you should walk out tefillin all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So in a case where you got tefillin all day long, like, yeah, we've got our Talmid Chochem, the Tzadik Ador, our Rav, he's sitting in our shir every day with tefillin. Tak, he sits every day with tefillin. I don't know if you noticed. Every day with tefillin. I used to go to Rabbi Goffman's yeshiva in South Africa. He said, Rabbi Goffman, you sit in the shir every year to wear tefillin until lunchtime. Every day, sit the whole day till lunchtime, he wore tefillin. I never saw walks around all day long with tefillin. In Jerusalem today, a lot of guys walking around with tefillin, with two pairs today. The mode is, the trend is these two little tefillin that they have. You don't see the rosh, and they don't have the straps on their hands under the thing here. But if you look carefully at the back, you'll see that there are two sets of tefillin. That's the mekubalim today, walk around with two rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Little ones, under their hat, etc. That's the trend in Jerusalem today in the mekubalim. We want from tomorrow, please, Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. So now, Arba Kabin Meniach Rabbi Kargum Pala. Tefillin Mahi, the Tanya Hayano Say Masoy Arosho, Utfilin Brosho, he's got his tefillin on his head, and he's carrying something. Remember, he's got a bundle on his head. Ima Yutfilin Rotzotzota Sus. Rashi says Rotzotzota over here means Mit Ma'achot Tachara Masa. They become crushed under the weight. Right? If that's the case, Asu. Right. It's unbelievable that, eh? The im lav mutar. And if not, if the tefillin aren't going to be crushed under it, then it's mutar.
So,
you're carrying something, you're carrying a weight in your head. Like, you know, in South Africa, you see this woman carries big things, imagine they're wearing tefillin. Right? Masoy amru. So what are we speaking about? We said masoy. What type of weight are we speaking about? Here's your question, Daddy. But masoy shel arba'at kabin. If you're carrying a masoy of four kabin. Now, more on that. If you're carrying out the garbage on your head, utfilin berosho, and you got tefillin on your head, haray ze lo yesal came to study, and don't move the tefillin to the side and keep the garbage on your head. Velo yesharem bemotnav, and don't take it and tie it around your waist, right? Because it's all the mipnation shehu noheg ben menag bezayon, because it's not mechubat for the tefillin. So what must you do? Aval koshram al zro'o b'mkom tefillin. Take the tefillin to rosh and tie it next to your tefillin shel yad. Interesting, eh? Put it there, because that's the place for tefillin. That's where tefillin should be. Now, we just said a second ago that if it wasn't such a heavy load, right, we said if it was up to Arba Kabin, so it was okay. Now, Mishum de Bei Shilo Amru, there's a different Beit Midrash here, and they've got a different argument. They say differently. Afilo mit pachat shelahen, even the packet, the tefillin bag itself, right, asur laniach al harosh sheyesh bo tefillin. If you've got tefillin, you can't even put that on your head. Let's forget about Arba Kabin, even this little bag of the tefillin itself, right, so it's a kosher cane that you can't carry anything else, right? Asur laniach harosh shel tefillin. Rashi says asur laniach lishem masoy al harosh b'sha'ah she'atfilin mekoman munachin. You can't even, along with your tefillin there, you can't carry it, right? The kama, and he says over here, what are we speaking about? So the measure over here, look at Rashi, the kama yehe b'masoy v'hi asur lanicho al harosh alibad Rabbi Shilo. So according to Rabbi Shilo, that he said even that, so what measure can you put on your head until it becomes asur? Some rabbi afilu river de river de pumpedita. Rashi says river de river. He's not a quarter of a quarter, but revere litra, the barmat, a quarter of a liter of the measure of pumpedita. And I saw some that the Rambam says this is a shekel, the value, the measure of a shekel. There's a very little amount. Okay. Back to our Mishnah. Now we go back to our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, my kids Baba Keri. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda argued on Tanakama. Tanakama said, the Keri, and we said, what do you carry? You need a relative amount. He says, my because Im Yeshbo Kidana Fila. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said, as long as you've got enough to plant the field from the proceeds of this for next year. So it says, going out, Kama Kidana Fila. How much is a Kidana Fila? How much is that to plant? So Rabbi Yochanan, Arba'a sa'in lakur. Now the gra changes that in both places and says, Arba'a kabin lakur. Now remember, kur is 30 sayah. So here the Gemara says arba'as se'in lakur, which is 4 out of 30, which is a 15th. 4 out of 30, is that right? No. 7.5, right? Almost like 15%, right? So it's quite a lot. Where the grass says no, arba'a kabin, which is much, much lesser amount. Rabbi Ami delay, right? Amar shmonat se'in lakur. And here again, he says double the amount, and the grass turns to shmone kabin lakur. Right? So now, on that machloket, it appears between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Ami Dilan, Rabbi Ami's own shita says 8, right? Says the Gemara, says like Amalei Hahu Sabel Rav Chama Bereid Rabbi Baravua Azbar Alach. I'll explain to you. And Rashi says over there, Azbar Alach, love the Rabbi Ami Palik and Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi, because Rabbi Ami was Rabbi Yochanan's Talmid. He says, don't think Rabbi Ami's arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. He brought Rabbi Yochanan's shita and then he brought his own shita. It's not a machloket between the two of them over here. So what's going on over here? He says to him, Bishnei Rabbi Yochanan, in the years of Rabbi Yochanan, have a Shmeina Ara. The land was more fertile. And therefore, half the amount would be enough to produce for the following year, because the land gave us much better returns. Bishnei Rabbi Ami, have a Kechisha Ara. The land already was a bit worse, so it was a bit difficult time, and therefore, he did double the amount to produce. Right. Nan hatam, now the Mishnah, haruach shepizraita omrim, omdim otam kama leket ruya lasot noten anim. Right, now what's going on over here? Another halacha over here, that, leaving us, Baba, right, that you got a case over here where you've collected your bundles, right, or marino, or these big sheaves, and they aren't tied up necessarily, and they're standing on the field, and you'd also had leket. Remember, leket, chicham, payah, those are the, if you like collecting stalks, and less than 3 stalks fall on the ground, you leave it for the ani'im. So that's on the field. And what's happened now, you bundled up your own stuff, and you had these piles of grain, of produce, and the wind came and blew them over. And now you've got everything's mixed up with everything. You don't know how much is there for the leket of the ani'im. Right, so that's the question. Rashbag says, what do you do? Omer noten la'anim k'dan nefila. We brought this halacha for the same reason, because we said nefila in our Mishnah, right? You'd give the ani'im the amount that you would have needed to farm the field for the following year. That's how you take out the leket. Right, ukama k'dan nefila. What's k'dan nefila? Kiata ravdimi am Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Ita, Rabbi Yochanan. They said what? Arba'a kabin lekur. See, this is why the Gra changed it from Arba'a Seya Lekur to Arba'a Kabin Lekur. You see that? Because here they measure Arba'a Kabin Lekur, which is the same as Klein Afila. Right. So now, on that, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, when we said Lekur, right, Arba'a Kabin Lekur, 4 Kav for a Kur, right, which is basically, if we say 4 Kav, a Kav is 24 eggs, so it's about 100 eggs, right, which was, let's say 40 liters of measure for 30 Seya. Right, a Kur is 30 Seya, so it's quite a small amount. Lekur zera or lekur tvo? We're speaking about a kur of seeds or a kur of harvest. Right? Obviously, a kur of seeds is much more than a kur of harvest. Right? So he says, and now, if we're going to say that it's lekur zera, right? Oh, we're speaking about lemapolet yad, lemapolet shvarim, where you spread it out by hand or with your oxen on the back of a cart. Now, on your hand, it's much less. Putting the amounts on a cart and dragging the cart through the field, you use much more seeds than if you're going hand by hand. So that also depends on what we're speaking about. So Toshma dechiyak to Rabin, Am Rabbi Avua. When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Am Rabbi Avua, Am Rabbi Lazar, Am Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Arba'at kabin lekur zera. That's 4 kav lekur zera. Va'adain, the Gemara's question was, Tibailach lemapolit yad lemapolit shvarim, yeah, Aria, especially for you. We still don't know if it's, is it the hand seeds or done by a machine. Gemara says, Taiku. Okay. Manit, let's finish this last Mishnah. I'm a kabel stem chaveiro. Another case now of a guy who gets a field, right? A lessi or a chokhi was in a second. Vach lechagavo nishtafa. And now came one of the chagavim, the flying things. Locust. Right? And there was a plague or nishtafa, or there was a very bad winds, right? Like a hot winds and dried the whole place up. We saw this halacha, by the way, the other day, right? Imakat medinahi, if it's a national crisis, right, he can take it off these costs. Yeah. Basically, it's basically national insurance, right? If it's national, the insurance automatically says you can deduct. And if it's not a makat medina, if it's local to that particular place, what? A plague, right? Ein menakelo min chakoro. He can't deduct it from his. So we're talking about a lease, okay? Not a sharecropper, a lease. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im kibla hemenu b'maot. Rabbi Yehuda says, now wait a second. It depends. Was this lease agreement a lease agreement where he's going to produce, where he's going to pay through proceeds, and was giving produce, or money? He says, if it's a money agreement, look at this, interesting. Bein kach uvein kach eino menakelo michakuro. If it's a he's paying with cash, he can't deduct it. Why? Rashi explains, because we're saying that this plague came because of a gzeira from Hashem. Mm. And if it's a gzeira, the gzeira only applies to the produce. And if he's getting money, he's outside the gzeira. Therefore, we can't make this guy suffer. He's not part of the gzeira. He doesn't have to suffer from the damages, and therefore he gets paid in the cash, the halabah.